farmers were asking for help again.
Across the American Corn Belt, farmers are getting ready for the spring planting season. It's a familiar rhythm this time of year. To plant soybeans and corn, farmers have to finish preparing the soil, spreading fertilizer on fields, and making sure their equipment is ready. But what they weren't quite ready for was a war in the Middle East driving up their costs. Scott Gaffner, a farmer in Greensville, Illinois, has been keeping track. And a call to a supply cooperative to ask for fertilizer pricing left him stunned at how quickly the prices were moving.
Quickly, who'd you vote for?
He wrote the figures down for that day.
And so we called, and he's here.
I'm just gonna take a guess. I'm just gonna take a guess as to who you voted for. You found a red hat with an American flag on it for your DW interview?
The statement to me was this. He goes, you know, 20 minutes ago on anhydrous ammonia, it would have been $970. He said, but now it's going to be $1,020 for that same.
Wait, did he say 970 to 1,020? That's like a 5% increase.
He goes, you know, 20 minutes ago on anhydrous ammonia, it would have been $970. He said, but now it's going to be $1,020.
In 20 minutes? Oh, did I miss the time range?
He wrote the figures down for that day.
And so we called, and he's here. The statement to me was this. He goes, you know, 20 minutes ago.
Sorry. I blanked over that part. A $50 increase in 20 minutes is pretty crazy. Me, after I get a call from the Situation Room. This fertilizer right here, it's actually going to be a lot more.
Hydrous ammonia, it would have been $970.
You hate to go to the fertilizer market and see your sell guy, like, anxiously looking at his phone. You hate to see him doom scrolling. You know you're about to get fucked in that transaction.
He said, but now it's going to be $1,020 for that same commodity. It changed within a 20-minute period of me calling him this morning before you got here.
The American Midwest may be 10,000 kilometers from the Middle East, but farmers here are taking an economic hit from the war there.
Whoa, the economy is global? I'm sorry, I know the average voter is, like, actually subhumanly fucking retarded, so you have to reiterate this stuff. Did you, despite not being in the Middle East, when the oil doesn't make it out of the Middle East, the other stuff gets more expensive?
Closure of the Strait of Hormuz and spiraling attacks on energy infrastructure have driven up diesel and fertilizer costs. The waterway carries a fifth of the world's oil and a third of its fertilizer. Most farmers were actually able to lock in their fertilizer orders before the war started, but they're already...
Yeah, for now, motherfucker, how many years out did they book it? Two or three? Or four? How?
Looking ahead to what could be a longer period of higher input prices that could squeeze their margins for years to come.
It's extremely difficult to have a lot of uncertainties because you always want to kind of know what you need to do.
You think Americans will actually start feeling these effects? Well, we're going to talk about it more in a little bit. So we're already feeling the increase in gas prices, but we probably have a couple more weeks before the wider inflationary effects of this really lock in. The problem is, like, we are pretty far from the Middle East, so it physically takes a while for the oil that is not being sent out to not arrive at our ports, you know, oil, fertilizer, whatever else. So we're waiting for a couple of weeks, but we're already seeing a massive economic crisis in East Asia, in East Africa. We're seeing it's going to hit Europe before it hits us. So, like, I've seen some people on social media compare it to COVID, where if you were paying close attention to the early cases in China, you realized, like, months before the lockdowns that the world was about to come to a screeching halt. But the average person didn't know that and had no way of knowing that. Really, it's like January 2020 and you're following the breakout in China and you're like, oh my God, this is going to be really bad. But the average person in January 2020 was just, you know, they had no idea, you know, there was just a buffer.
Crops you need to produce, what the prices are going to be, what your input prices are going to be. And the problem lately, and as we're talking about with the conflict with Iran and
why is fertilizer affected by Iran? Why? I thought fertilizer was just cow poop. No, fertilizer is chemicals and byproducts of petroleum products. I mean, you can make fertilizer out of a lot of stuff. Fertilizer is just an aggregate of minerals that you dump into the soil that makes the plants grow better. Yeah, ammonia and nitrogens and stuff. You can make that with poop. You know, you can poop on the plants if you want to, but, like, a significant amount of fertilizer comes from the Middle East, which we use to make food.
the Straits of Hormuz. It affects everybody. The longer this goes on, it will start to affect us more.
A 7-hour drive away in Hampton, Iowa, April Hems is preparing her farm for the planting season too. To her, this current...
Watch in January 2020 was predicting that COVID would be a nothing burger. That is true. 100% it was. I was so wrong on that. I'm so glad I didn't publish an early segment that I did where I was like, this is probably going to turn out to be nothing. Because I remembered the last like dozen big viral events happening or big, you know, contagions emanating from China being complete horseshit. And a lot of them were just xenophobia. Like, oh, look at the scary, you know, this scary Eastern disease. But I was totally off on that one. So, you know.
Energy and supply shock is just the latest in a string of crises for farmers.
We used to say, what's the black swan event? And I go, there's no more black. They're all black swans now. So I'm just looking for a white swan, somebody, somewhere to raise the flag.
U.S. soybean exports to China, until last year's trade war, the number one buyer of U.S. soybeans, have yet to fully rebound. Record harvests worldwide meant commodity prices were pushed.
So does she work the farm or own it? I really, not to be hateful or whatever, I really don't think with a build like that at that age, she's working the farm. Every time we interview American farmers, remember that there are like 30 Mexican slaves that they've crammed into a broom cupboard somewhere. So the people who own the land can talk to the interviewers. Like, it's like they, when we say farmer, what we usually mean is farm owner or landlord, or like in medieval terms, like the lord of the land. Dude, sometimes American media will interview these like, oh shucks, down to earth farmers, and they will own like enough land. It takes hundreds of people to manage it. Like, they are like tiny little lords, but we treat them like they're actual farmers. And these are people, I mean, they dress up in their overalls for the camera, but you know, they're not doing the manual labor.
Down, and tariffs on imports farmers need, whether on chemicals or on equipment, hit budgets too. The effects of the war.
You're just entirely wrong, my man. I'm genuinely, truly sorry, but I'm not. There are farmers that work their own land, but like my entire life, I have seen farmers in California and Texas especially be like, oh yeah, you know, me and Ma just work the farm, and they own like thousands and thousands of acres of land. You know, it's they're not the ones working it. What labor goes into corn and soy other than driving equipment? I don't know. Again, I mentioned California and Texas because I know mostly about like vegetable picking, which requires a ton of farmhands. I do know that corn and soybean and so on farmers do also use farmhand labor, but I don't know as much about that supply line, about that process.
In the Middle East are further compounding an already difficult cost situation.
Subtitles.
Our commodity prices really haven't kept up with inflation, with the price of our inputs. So our margins are very, very small. So what we're doing now is just, you know, you watch the markets and plan as much as we can. And if we have to sell, you know, we have to sell even at a loss because, you know, we'll have another crop coming on and need room in the bins. So that, you know, that's farming. You just, hopefully your bankers understands and sticks with you.
In these parts, farmers make up a close-knit community. A 5-minute drive takes April to fellow farmer Mark Guy. Their families have
close-knit community.
Been friends for generations. Mark Guy has some complicated accounting ahead of him as well.
Well, the week before the war started, I did a fuel inventory and figured out how much I would need to buy, and was on the verge of calling my fuel broker, and I just didn't get to it. So that little mistake was gonna end up costing me substantially. I believe the fuel I will need to buy this spring will be in the 30%.
I'm looking it up because I'm interested. soybean and corn farming absolutely use less, or they're more automated than like vegetable picking. But I'm getting a lot of like varied accounts on how frequently farmhand labor is used for them. Like some people, especially during planting, some are saying, or some of the reports, not reports, I guess, like I guess sources I'm looking at are saying that it's more, and then I guess for harvesting it'd be very little. I'm not really sure. It depends on the farm size. Oh, for sure. 100%. It makes me so fucking sad. The whole, like, short drive away. 5 minutes from your closest neighbor. We need to reinvent the German village, man. Every time I see American farms, I think of that. It's crazy that in America, farmhouses are all on the farm. Like, separate. Rather than having the farm plots run out like spoke wheels from a center village, you know?
Higher than before the war started.
And
any time farmers plant, it requires a lot of fuel. And how soon prices will drop remains uncertain.
We have two planters like this and tillage tractors, fertilizer application tractors. We will burn, 300 gallons a day, maybe up to 500 when we have all those machines in operation. And that spring work season will go on for, a month. Not
just FYI, German farmers also tend to be landowners' employers. No, that's like all farmers now. Yeah, basically, like the that happened around the turn to industrial capitalism. When you abandon the lord as like the ruler of the farmlands, you have to have an owner anyway. You introduce a landowner, a landlord, and like those people are now called the farmers in a lot of cases.
Not every day is fit to run that amount of equipment, that all the tractors.
Yeah, I think Dana. Like it's not.
Gosh, I'd have to do some math to think how many.
Often they don't even own it. It's basically like double sharecropping, kind of, where like the farmer owns the land, but in reality, the land, or at least the product of the farm, is owned by some gigantic farming megacorp. So there's like multiple layers of exploitation. Most farmers have very, very difficult jobs. It's just I also hate them because they like 90% of the time vote for the people who want to fuck their daughters or whatever. So
1,000 gallons of fuel we'll use this spring, but it's substantial.
Across the Midwest, farmers are calculating how much longer they can absorb the cost of decisions made in Washington. Like many here in this largely conservative farming area, Scott Gaffner is a supporter of President Trump.
Wow. Thank you. Well, I appreciate you. Unlike More Perfect Union, cutting to the...
But says patience is wearing thin among the farmers around him.
I hate you so fucking much. I hate you so goddamn much, dude. I fucking hate you. It's always the same story that they thought Trump would put blacks in their place and kick out the illegals except for the ones that work the farm. And then, like, they never have anything good to say about Trump, but they would still lay their lives down for him. They can never explain why, because if they explain why, they would understand how unlikable they would come across. Oh, yeah, my patience is wearing very fucking thin with these people. Your patience is wearing thin after 10 years of Trump?
You may look at this in a year and say, you know what? That was the best thing we did, because we now took a regime that was volatile.
Oh, my God.
That we now have the straits open and we can bring more products through.
Oh, my God.
Now we can just have more free trade everywhere. And it may be a thing where, like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. But right now, we're very anxious because it's hitting us in the pocketbook. And
genuinely, democracy can't survive these people. We need to do something. We need to do something. We can't keep doing this, man. It's great, because now, finally, things will be able to flow through the Strait of Hormuz. You shouldn't be able to vote.
It's very hard.
The government is sending help, but the $12 billion package announced in December was meant to aid farmers in the fallout of the trade war with China.
Yeah, that was the last time Trump fucked you guys over. Not that you'll ever learn.
A further $15 billion in relief to help cushion the impact of the war in the Middle East is reportedly in discussion. But what these farmers say they want most of all is not a bailout, but stability and open markets. In the absence of
both... You don't want open markets, you fucking retards. You're already pissed that you guys have to fucking sell at a global price. You benefit from so many subsidies. You don't want... You already get the free money. You don't want open markets.
At the moment, they're doing what they've always done, planning, then planting to the best of their ability.
Great. Wonderful.